You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
21 minutes after 11 to the top of the hour, we've got a guest who was one of our highlights last year. We had her on the show a couple of times, but probably had a couple of podcasts last year that went viral. The biggest one was obviously that interview we did with Shark Poe. And then the other one, which also not only went viral, but impacted so many of your lives in real ways, and I've seen it and I've met some of you and some of you have stopped me to say so, is, of course, the work that Janet Gourand from World Without Wine has done, her own personal journey in her relationship with alcohol, and helping many of you, many of us who have relationships with alcohol that we wish to change, to begin that journey. And it's a very slow process. And it was exactly a year ago that I had in the studio for the Dry January Challenge that I took on myself. I ended up not drinking for about 5 months or so. And I counted that I drank on fewer than 20 occasions last year, Janet, which made it the driest year since my first year of university, which is a scary stat because the pressure to drink is so intense in society that I literally had to go back in my memory bank to the year 1997 to recall the last time I had consumed as little alcohol in a calendar year as I had in 2017. And I've now started the Dry January Challenge again on the first this time, because last year when I started it on a hangover. I now have a week in on already, and hopefully it will go a little bit longer. Thank you so much for coming, and it's wonderful seeing you again.
It's fantastic to see you too, CBS. Thank you so much. I feel wonderful, thank you. I had a bit of a break, but I have to say I've been fundraising all the way through Christmas and New Year.
I'm doing an amazing job.
Bashing those phones and harassing everybody. I don't think I've got any friends left, but, you know, whatever.
Obviously, since meeting you, I take more than a passing interest now when I see articles about giving up drinking, our relationship with our different poison. Your poison is alcohol. My poison is carbohydrates, as you know. And now I click on things. And the messaging around quitting drinking, going cold turkey, or in this case, just giving your liver a holiday and not think of it as a permanent decision. It's so interesting because I read some of the articles you post on the World Without Wine Facebook page, on your own Facebook page, on Twitter, on the Twitter account, and I've experienced some of the benefits, and I'm going to go through that. And then there are also the skeptics. You know, for every new diet, there is some clever person who comes up and said, don't believe that diet fad. And similarly, I've come across articles over the last year, one or two posted by a friend of mine who's very thoughtful in terms of science journalism or following science journalism closely, also saying that the idea of detoxing doesn't make sense. Detoxing is another one of those myths. And it's always the people who don't have six-packs who come up with these, don't believe that detoxing is healthy for you. What is truth and what is fiction in terms of new year, new me, 30-day diet, you know, challenge where I challenge myself?
Yeah. I get you with the detoxing thing. And certainly a doctor would say that, well, our bodies detox, thank goodness, or we'd die. They detox constantly. But I still think there's just a huge benefit from giving your body a break. You know, let's face it, alcohol is an addictive poison. And we're drinking it, a lot of us. I mean, I'm in the past tense now, but I was drinking every single day. And if you're a daily drinker, even if it's only one or two glasses of wine, that means that the next day you spend it in withdrawal, you know, almost like a heroin addict would be in withdrawal, because you don't feel good again until you have your hit of alcohol at 6 o'clock, till you have your another glass of wine when you get home. So if we take a break from all that, at least, you know, we can get some rest. This time of year, everybody's exhausted, you know, back to work after having crazy festive season maybe. And there's so many studies that show how alcohol impacts your sleep so negatively. So just, you know, take a month off alcohol, do a dry January and get some rest, you know, because you can imagine how your fatigue builds up over the years. I mean, I feel completely different now to what I felt a few years ago. I was always tired and relying on coffee and my wine to give me that lift. But I'm in a completely different space now. And that's because, you know, I can sleep. Because alcohol, we need 5 to 7 cycles of REM sleep a night, and that's the really restful sleep. That's the that's when our learning takes place. You know, it's such a valuable type of sleep. And if you drink alcohol, then it takes, you only have 1 to 2 cycles of REM sleep a night.
That's huge. Absolutely. Janet and I have a lot to talk about, and we can talk for 2 hours. As you hear us going through different touch points of our relationship with alcohol, give us a call. Maybe she is, as she's done in the past, going to describe your life. Maybe you have some fears in terms of taking just a 30-day dry challenge. What are they? Voice them. And we're going to be as practical as possible how you might survive 30 days. Because the summer holidays are not over just because the new year has started. We have a heat wave currently in Johannesburg. And I walked into JB's Corners at Morrow's Arch the other day. It was hot. And most of the tables around me were cracking open a bottle of wine and shots because it seems the way to cool down. So maybe I thought to myself, at least one person there might have come across Janet or someone like Janet and decided they're going to take 30 days off. But now you find yourself at a restaurant. And what are you to do when everyone else says, let's get a cold bottle of white wine? So lift your fears. What has come up for you? Behaviors that you've tried, the pressure, and how is it working out for you? 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Let's get straight into the 30-day challenge on your platform, because there are many different ways people can journey out of a toxic relationship with alcoholism. And not everyone who has an unhealthy relationship with alcohol is necessarily an alcoholic. Some of us just binge drink, and we wish not to do so. Some of us just want to break, but don't want to quit alcohol. What is the 30-day challenge?
Okay, the mechanics of the 30-day challenge. Go to the website, worldwithoutwine.com, and on the website, there's a link directly to the challenge. So there you can get the information and you can make a donation. And what happens is once we receive your donation, it'll trigger your daily email. So every day you get tips, tools, motivation, latest research on alcohol. I hope it's very educational. And the cause that we're fundraising for is a wonderful one. We've been partnering with the same guys for 3 years now. They're called Earth Child. And what they do is they run yoga classes and life skill classes in township schools in Kalicha and Lavender Hill. And the first year we did this, we raised 30,000, and that was enough to give 200 children a whole year of yoga lessons. Last year we had another go and we got 37,000. And this year, we've already smashed 30,000.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, this morning I just had a look, and it's 30,500. So we've already got enough for 120 children, but we want to go for 200. So we're going for 50K this year. And already, you know, I think I'm feeling quietly confident. And I know you CBS listeners are just an awesomely generous bunch of people. So that's why I'm on the show today, fundraising.
Absolutely. And I hope that you will do your bit if you are able to. I have decided to give to this cause because I think it is so important to enable children, teenagers from under-resourced parts of the city to experience activities they may not otherwise have access to. So even if this is not just about your own personal challenge to yourself, there's also an opportunity here to do good, in fact, and that's very important. So go to worldwithoutwine.com. And if you've got questions in terms of how to cope with the social pressure, withdrawal symptoms, anything in relation to alcohol and alcohol abuse, give us a call. We've got 30 minutes to slowly unravel all of the different challenges, from the physiological to the social.
702 and Cape Talk. Family Matters.
28 minutes before noon, we're talking to Janet Gurant about a 30-day challenge to keep dry and how to cope, really, if you've taken the decision to quit drinking or to change your relationship with the alcohol. Give us a call on 021-446-0567. Is this a decision you have taken? How has it worked out for you in week one? and maybe you took this decision last year sometime. What has your journey been? Share what has worked. What have been your coping mechanisms? How have you dealt with the social pressure? 011-883-0702. That is our Johannesburg number. Now, obviously, one of the things you and I have spoken about before, Janet, is the incredible ubiquitous nature of alcohol. It is everywhere. You expect it to drink. I had this ridiculous situation at a New Year's Eve party at my house where I was drinking alcohol. I had already had quite enough. I then had a liter of water to pace myself as the oldest person in the house to make sure I don't pass out before everyone else. And no one said anything while the champers were flowing and the beer was flowing. And the first remark I had about what's in my hand is when I took a break with a bottle of water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you remember that clip played?
I was stronger now because I'm in a different space than before. Yeah. I can now nonchalantly, without fear of contradiction, say I'm not going to drink for at least 30 days. And I don't have to worry that someone is going to bust me because my relationship with alcohol is now very uncomplicated, courtesy what I have been through with your work and through your platform.
Yeah.
But I had a mental note, a moment where I knew if it was day one of the 30-day challenge, that kind of remark can make you instantly go back on your resolution to give your liver a break for 30 days.
Absolutely, Eusebius. I mean, it's the only drug we have to justify not taking. Can you imagine if you said to your friends, I'm taking a break from heroin for a month? Are they going to say, oh, no, you can't do that?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just crazy. But you're right, you know, it does get easier. And, you know, the thing is that the more that you're able to say to people, you know, I'm not drinking and you have your reasons, you know, you can, I'm perfectly honest now, but in the early days it was, I'm on meds or I'm on a health kick or something. But the joy about Dry January is it genuinely is a health check, a health boost, you know.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I've got 20 tips here. I hope I'll be able to get some of them in. Mm. But my first tip actually is to go public, you know, about your Dry January. Be proud. You're actually taking a month off what is an addictive poison, you know. So be proud of it. And not only are you giving your body and brain such a wonderful break, but you're making a healthy start and you're helping a great cause. You know, tell people about Earth Child. It'll be wonderful to get the word out there.
That's interesting advice because some people think, shucks, maybe I should.
Ashamed.
Maybe I should tell people one. Not out of shame, out of fear that they won't be able to last the 30 days and then they get jaded.
True. But, you know, put it out there. I remember when the day I stopped drinking, I started blogging because I thought, let me make myself accountable here because, you know, people would be on my case, you know, if I changed it. So I found it helped me. I know some people like to stay very private, but I found that the more people that I told, the more likely I was to stay on track.
Give us more tips there.
More tips. Oh, wow. Well, if you're doing my dry January, guys, please read your Daily Mail as it comes through.
I love them.
Because I know when I sign up for various things, I think I glance at it. I think, oh, that's from so-and-so. I'll put it in a folder and I'll read it later. And, of course, I never do. So just read it. You know, it's short and it'll inspire you. And just go for it.
Can I read one for them so they can get a sense of it? No, they're stunning. They really, really are. And what Janet does is she will send you an email. It's 3-4 paragraph. It's just a thought, but it's a thought that is, in horrible management speak, that is based on action steps that you can take to actually focus your behavior. So it's not just to make you sort of meditate on a thought. It is all driven towards behavioral change. And obviously this one spoke to me. This is something I testified to at one of Janet's workshops. And in fact, when I read this, I thought, I hope Janet was remembering in part how much I was honing on about this at a workshop that she had given. The gift of time. One thing you may discover during your alcohol-free month is that you have more time on your hands. When you are a drinker, you don't have to make too many decisions about how to spend your time. It just kind of glides by, and it's going to involve wine, beer, cocktails. You're either planning the drinking, doing the drinking, or recovering from the drinking. So there could be just a chance that you have lost track of what fun actually is besides drinking. When you stop drinking for a month, you suddenly get a third-ish of your day back. That's because your days don't fizzle out at 6 p.m. and instead of floating through your weekends in a dream, you're there for all of it. Time is not something we ever get back, so why not use that extra time to complete an overdue project, take up a new sport, or even discover some new alcohol-free activities? I mean, I could not have foreseen that benefit because I was unaware of how habitually I was losing time as a result of binge drinking on a Friday. So it just hit me out of the blue that I have all this time. Yeah. And one of the weirdest things in the middle of January, February last year was finding myself awake by 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, Janet, because the body's got no need to still be asleep.
Exactly.
I wasn't trying to go for one of those NAF park runs.
Yeah.
But the body had no reason to still be asleep. And Rebecca Davis testified to the same in a Sunday Times column. How much of your social life is a template that our relationship with alcohol provides you? Mm. And it's weird and wonderful that you have this time, but initially you kind of twiddle your thumbs because then you realize, I better start planning what to do with my free time now.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite interesting. People that give up drinking permanently, happened to me, first of all, there's a bit of a void, there's a bit of a depression because your body is so used to letting the alcohol make you feel good that it hasn't it doesn't produce the dopamine as efficiently as it used to. So you go through this kind of flat period, but you need to leave that as a void.
Yes.
And for me, you know, I left the void and thought, oh, you know, I'm losing more than I'm gaining here. But one day I thought, I'm going to start World Without Wine. And here I am,
absolutely.
You know. That obviously it wouldn't have come to me if I was drinking. But, you know, just to sit with it and give yourself some space.
So the point of that reading, by the way, listen, if you're listening, is that that is the kind of nugget that Janet gives you. It just takes 3 minutes. You might be in the car, maybe you're at home, and you just reflect on it. A little bit. And I've got my dad on this challenge now. Hi, Dad, if he's listening. So he hasn't signed up, but I'm cheating a little bit. I share with him the ones that Janet sent to me.
Oh, I don't mind if people do that at all, obviously. It'd be nice that every person sent it to 100.
Yeah, but we do want people to donate as well. Let's go to Roodepoort. Atiya, hello.
My name is actually Yahya. Atiya is my surname.
Right. Okay. Welcome to the
show. I'm an ENT surgeon. Thank you very much. And we've known for years about the risks of alcohol in terms of cancer. So, for example, in the Western Cape, there's a higher rate of hypopharyngeal cancer, and that's because they used to have what we used to call the DOP system, where farm workers get paid in alcohol.
Yeah.
But a recent study has shown that alcohol actually affects you at a much more fundamental level than that. It actually affects your stem cells, which means your DNA is basically getting damaged. That's the first point I wanted to make. The second point is that the problem in South Africa is that we have this culture of drinking that, you know, if the poachers lose, let's have a drink because they lost and console ourselves. If they win, let's have a drink because they won. And that is the problem. That there's so much societal pressure on people to drink. And the fact is that, look, as a Muslim, I've never drank in my life. And you don't need to be drunk to have fun. That is the point. So, you know, the whole thing, if you are drinking, it's difficult to stop drinking. I accept that. But once you stop, it's not difficult not to drink. And I think that's important for people to know, that you don't need alcohol in your life to have a good life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear you on that. And yet that the social norms are so horrid in how they sometimes play out, Janet, that I know that there will be a small number of people, hopefully not too many, but some, who will even listen to this conversation and willfully mishear it as moralizing about drinking, which it's not even that. So just talk me through that, because you're not even judging people who are social drinkers, or for that matter, who are alcoholics, which is a disease, and we've got to recognize it as such. But the norms operate so unhealthily that someone wanting to take a break will even be shamed as if they are moralizing about their friends drinking when it's just a personal journey.
Absolutely. But you know, I would never judge, I would never moralize. I was in, you know, quite a dark place, so I've had my own journey to get through. But what I'm trying to do with my work is just kind of educate people. about alcohol, because I don't think we know the half of it. We've just heard this this doctor calling in. Thank you so much for that call. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the cancer, I've had breast cancer, and I'm sure there's a link there between my heavy drinking and my breast cancer. But if we can just get the message out to people that 1.5 bottles of wine a week is an acceptable level of alcohol. And if people can moderate, then they must moderate and they must enjoy themselves. And I can only say that I'm extremely jealous of these kind of people, because for me, you know, there's one glass of wine is pointless. You know, I used to drink for the buzz, not for the taste of the wine. So, but I know, you know, there's some very sophisticated people out there who will just have one glass of wine with their meal and that'll be the end of it. And that's amazing. So alcohol can be consumed, but please use it with caution. Use it with respect. It's absolutely dangerous.
Janet LaRue tweets, Janet absolutely changed my life, Eusebius. My relationship with alcohol will never be the same. Once you know better, you do better. Hashtag dry January. Thanks so much, Janice, for that. Really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Janice.
Khotatso, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Eusebius. Hi, Janet. How are you doing?
Hi, Khotatso. I'm good. How lovely of you to ring in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So my comment is twofold. Number one, I met Janet about, 3-ish months ago?
Yeah.
And I must say, it was love at first sight. And
Eusebius is going to be jealous now. Don't say that.
But half as jealous as a partner next year.
Well, not the way that people think about it as a physical, because, you know, yes, as a human, you've got a physical, spiritual, and emotional side. And it is more on that spiritual and emotional side, because she is such a good human. And I attended one of her workshops, and, you know, you can just feel her aura and, you know, her genuineness.
And what did it do for you, Khotatso? So what has your journey been?
Yeah. So I actually met her. I started my own journey by myself. I was like, okay, it's been a pretty intense year. Last year I was like 32 years old, working in a career and just trying to like find a middle ground for myself. So I was like, okay, I want to cut down on the booze. Okay, let me take a 30 or maybe 100 day break. And then I got to my 30 days, which was relative ease. But then I felt I needed support to get to the 100 days because society actually discourages you as much as they can to not get there. In fact, you get ridiculed, especially as a young person. So I emailed her, and luckily she had space in one of her workshops. And it was absolutely, absolutely fantastic. It is what I needed at that time. I think I was on day 40 or something, and was like probably halfway through the workshop. I knew that I'll definitely get my 100 days because of all the information that she shared and the support structure that was actually available, because there's this huge stigma of stopping alcohol. People think about it as, you know, maybe this person's an alcoholic and it's like an AA thing, whereas actually most people in society are unable to actually just take a break, and there's no platforms to support that, which is what I found in the World Without Wine workshops. And then I actually got to 100 days, and I was like, oh my goodness, I feel fantastic. Why on earth would I rush back? And eventually I got to about 150 days with such ease. Tried to experiment a few times these holidays, had a few drinks, and I actually just came to a resolution that, nah, I prefer the feeling that I felt in the 5 months that I had cut down. It's giving me an edge in my job, my career, and in society in general, you know?
Sounds like, I mean, Khotatso, I obviously don't know you, but it sounds to me like you also have a clarity of purpose in terms of the, I think the wording Janet uses in the workshop, if I may forget, but the concept is a kind of reflective readiness that you have reached. So sometimes for some people that happens after 3 days, after 30 days. Sometimes you will have your 100 days, but secretly you are still just rehearsing. You haven't quite yet taken that decision. And for you, it obviously came after you had another go at it. But it sounds to me like you're at a point that is a beautiful space to be in now.
It's an absolutely phenomenal space. And I mean, in this December, it's not like I was getting whacked or anything.
Sure.
I probably had like a couple of glasses of wine here and there, a few beers, And, you know, it's been beautiful to compare both. And I feel with the point of my life that I'm at, both, well, in my career, in my physical being and everything, this was just the step that I needed to, you know, possibly take me to that next level in this interesting country that we live in, you know?
Absolutely. Janet, now, you are obviously, not obviously, but I would say this of you, you are very self-effacing and not a very self-indulgent person, but it must be really heartwarming in terms of your own sense of purpose when you hear the kind of journey that people like Hotatso have been through and are going through.
Oh, it's amazing, Eusebius. I mean, getting through my alcohol problem and then launching World Without Wine, it's enabled me to find my purpose in life. I had a long and, you know, a successful corporate career, but when I reflect on that, I was spending my days making rich shareholders richer, you know, and what I do now is so much more meaningful. Mm-hmm. But Hotatso, you know, he's such a cool guy. He came along and, do you remember I ask everybody what their motivation and they do a share, etc. And his motivation was the most original and interesting that I'd heard for a long time. He said, I'm here because, you know, I'm very ambitious. I'm doing well in my corporate career and sobriety is going to give me an edge. And that's so true because everybody in corporate, certainly all my corporate life, we were all drinking our heads
off.
If you're the one, you know, and if you can cope with the peer pressure, then you've got the edge.
Yes. And how do you cope with the peer pressure functionally? We're going to tell you on the other side of this.
702 and Cape Talk. Family matters.
Now, initially, it can be quite hard. So there are ways of coping. I obviously discovered One Drink That I Love. You can't have too many of them, though. The Duchess, which is fantastic.
Have you tasted the new floral version? They've got a new version.
Oh, no, I haven't.
It's fantastic.
I don't even know if there's a new version.
Yeah, it's even better.
But that's great because there's no sugar. Not that I was looking for no sugar, but incidentally, there's no sugar in it. There's no calories. And it tastes like a GNT.
Exactly.
And if the taste of GNT won't be a trigger for you, and that's every person has their own individual profile, then this is it's a wonderful virgin GNT.
And we have Castle Zero
I haven't tasted it yet, but we've got Castle Zero.
And there's loads coming out in the UK and America. And I think, you know, this is very interesting that these liquor companies are now recognizing that this is a bit of a thing, you know.
That's true.
So let's get into this desire. So there's a lot of science, you know, that sobriety is going to be a little less uncool in the future.
And then if you don't have the wherewithal to just be assertive about your choices, people don't troll you when you have a glass in your hand. So if you have ice cubes, you've got a lovely slice of lemon, and you've got your virgin GNT in it, no one's going to ask you any questions at the Braai.
No. So that's another, the beer's great, you know, because the Beck's Blue, you know, you're there with your bottle and you're just one of the gang, you know, because it's a human need, isn't it, to be one of the herd. So when you peel away from the herd, it's difficult. You make yourself vulnerable. But it's a matter of, you know, being brave. It's ridiculous that, you know, you need courage to do something healthy, but that's how society is organized. So let's be a bit rebellious, you know.
Absolutely.
Let's not go with the flow all the time.
Let's go to Braamfontein. Yuri, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. I have a comment on an advert that I saw on TV, and I might come under a lot of flack for this being too sensitive. But working in the human rights field, I see a lot of alcohol abuse, which leads to lots of other problems. So it's basically advert for Castle alcohol-free beer. It's where I think the player is Bobby Skinstad. I don't know.
I know the ad you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes and orders the alcohol-free beer, and suddenly everything goes quiet. The rugby stops. The players stop. It's like almost the world just stops, you know. Those cheerleaders stop and stare at him. And then he's under all of this pressure. And then he says, you'd better make it a Castle alcohol-free beer. So I understand what the advertising is for. It's like basically for Castle alcohol-free beer. But for me, what I got from the advert, that it's just not cool to order alcohol-free beer either way, you know. And I think it's extremely irresponsible advertising.
Interesting, yeah.
But why do you think it's irresponsible, though?
It's irresponsible because it's almost like he was at first Yes. I mean, it was a shock that someone so cool as a rugby player will order something alcohol-free, you know? And everyone was like, oh, my God, what is happening here? So what if you order something alcohol-free? You know, that's your prerogative. It doesn't make you any less cool or any more cool and that sort of thing. So that's what I got from the advert. I was quite concerned by it. And then,
I get you.
I get the gist of the advert and I understand what they're trying to do. But
I suppose, it's the difference between edutainment on Soul City Institute's TV series and then a commercial company that recognizes that part of the market will be a market of people who do not have the ability to care what others think about them. But if you do care what others think about you, then that kind of advertising meets your psychology halfway. Not everyone is as assertive as Eusebius and Yuri.
The thing is, when I saw that ad, Yuri, I thought, wow, welcome to my world, guys.
There's an interesting tweet here. We're going to run out of time, as we always do, because we have so much fun with Janet here. But I did want to read it out. It will require a bit of unpacking, but I think it's useful to end on this note, which maybe will nicely segue into where we might start the next time we have you on the show, Janet. So let's make a mental note so we know what we've agreed on. Yolanda tweets the following. Every Sunday, I tell myself that I've stopped drinking. Come Friday, I get very lonely because my whole family stays at another province. I get very bored and the vibe outside is impossible to ignore. And then I just start drinking and Yolanda has got two teary-eyed emoticons. Now, this for me is a seminal sort of learning moment, but it requires more time for us to go through it. It's one of the things that I took away from your workshop. I have battled many a times over the years with anxiety, for example. And over the last year, particularly the first 5 months when I did not drink any alcohol, when I felt a little bit of anxiety, and not even clinical anxiety, even just healthy anxiety, and I wanted to reach for the beer, I always remember one of the things we discussed in your workshop, which is that the drinking does not make the source of the anxiety go away.
It makes it worse. I've got a lovely experiment with rats. Have we got time?
Go for it.
Okay. Very new. They took a batch of rats. Half of these rats they injected with alcohol every day for a month to give it the same as a human being daily drinker. The other half of the batch had nothing. They got to stay sober. After a month of this, they put the whole batch into a stressful situation, which if you're a rat is being forced to do an obstacle race. And lo and behold, the sober rats performed so much better. So the ones that had alcohol in their system, they just couldn't cope with the anxiety and they just stalled. So it's now proven. And I say to people doing Dry January, on day one of your challenge, write down everything that you're worried about that's stressing you out. Just write it down, put it away. Yeah. Day 30, get out that list, look at it. And I bet you'll feel better about that list.
So keep at it, Yolanda. And a community helps. And in this era, you don't need to be physically with other people who have taken up the challenge. So when you're feeling alone, there's no need. Go to World Without Wine. Find Janet's page on Facebook. And digital communities can achieve the same as if you had your BFFs with you wherever you are on a Friday when you're feeling lonely. You don't have to feel lonely when we have these incredible digital communities of people that are just one button away who are going through the same thing as you. And please, please, please do donate if you are able to do so. So it's a dry challenge, but it will also enable Janet to reach many poor children around Cape Town who otherwise won't have an opportunity to be engaged in healthy activities like yoga. Janet, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.